TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Score North Live with Matthew Collar.
Hour number two of Score North Live. Matthew Collar on a very deserving week off, getting set for the NFL Draft Blitz next week. I'm Chris Long from 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department filling in. Danny Cunningham from Score North sticking around. Judd Zolgad coming in a little early. Go ahead.
Hey, boys.
You tossed the word deserving around there pretty loosely.
I don't know, man. He's remember, what we see Matthew Collar, what we see of his work, we all do a little bit of prep on our own. We all do. You do for your basketball. You do for whatever it is you do, Judd.
I don't really prep.
Whatever it is that you
do, I don't really prep.
Jonathan needs some time.
I don't know how much prep goes into the Zolgad headlines.
When Matthew gets home at the end of a quote-unquote work day, hello, wife, maybe has a bite to eat, and then he's watching 5 hours of film from something.
Well, don't forget, she's the star, though. Sloan's the star.
I know. He's a smart man.
Like, Collar, yeah. Collar's a nice, I mean, it's a nice story, but she's carries the weight.
100%.
That impressive.
I've worked more with her than with him on the high school stuff.
Lucky you. Play by play, high school hockey, CCO,
Prep Bowl,
yeah.
Big Ten Network.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you.
So he's doing, I think, more. Outside of, I don't think people understand. People that consume his work on social media, on scorenorth.com, on the radio, I don't think understand how much he does outside. I don't think they understand how much everybody in this business does outside.
But well, he has no life. Now, here's my one quibble, though.
You just threw that in there. He has no life, comma, but.
But here's my one quibble with Collar's life. And this is not a judgment, but it's unfair to me. If I didn't drink, I would do nothing but sports, too. He doesn't drink alcohol, which is a credit to him. Very healthy, very good. Not a criticism from him.
On
from
the
me.
Flip side, all he does drink is Diet Dr. Pepper. Maybe not very so healthy, good. Not very good.
But I'm saying, like last night, I get done with the show, drive to Bunnies, of course, post up there and watch two hockey games.
I'm excited for when they retire your number. They retire your mug at Bunnies. They raise the Zolgad mug to the rafters at Bunnies.
There will be many people before me.
That needs to happen.
There are people there more than I am. Very impressive.
I guess you're just the one that gets all the credit.
Well, because I talk about it on a radio station. But yes, there are people there every night for dinner.
We kicked it around last segment, and I want to bring you in because you came in with a great point about the doubleheader that we're going to see in Baltimore tomorrow. Danny explained why he's boycotting baseball. It's a lot of things that, as a lukewarm baseball person, I agree with.
I won't be watching tomorrow.
Oh, you're boycotting now?
I'm boycotting baseball, yeah.
Did this just start?
Today.
Sorry, Chris.
With the suspension after the bat flip
with
slash.
Tim Anderson getting suspended.
Okay.
He's out. Yeah,
I did not know that, but okay.
And his point, in case there are people just joining us, the slogan for Major League Baseball this year is...
Let the kids play.
And clearly that's not happening.
Tim Anderson was playing, and they're not letting him play anymore.
No, you're right.
I'm boycotting baseball. That's, I'm sorry,
you
baseball.
You know what? You know what? I think that's... I think your case is very fair.
Thank you.
And when the news came out that, okay, today's game's bang, they're going to have a single-ticket doubleheader tomorrow, I went, oh... That never happens anymore. And you came in and said, yep, because baseball take every penny they can.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when, now I believe in the 60s, they did the split doubleheader more often.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, though, growing up,
single ticket doubleheaders.
It was all single ticket. I don't remember a splitty until maybe Camden Yards because why? They were all games were sold out. So why give away a ticket for two games when you could charge for two games? But I think baseball now, especially for these early season cold and snow and rain games, should say, you guys ain't doing a split doubleheader. You're doing one, a single admission. We're playing it immediately. I think what Baltimore is doing tomorrow is fantastic. And I think Rob Manfred, among the changes he makes, should say, that's what you're doing from now on.
When I was a kid growing up in suburban D.C., getting to Baltimore was a nightmare. There's now a nice highway that basically goes straight through, but you used to have to go into D.C., around the Beltway, up the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, into Baltimore, get to Memorial Stadium through one of the worst neighborhoods of Baltimore to park and get into the stadium.
Okay.
We wouldn't go that often.
Sure.
But if when a rainout would happen, there would be the doubleheader, we'd go. That, like, if 15-year-old me or 16-year-old me, so I had a car, was still in D.C. tonight, me and my buddies would be planning to go to Baltimore for the game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, Camden Yards is a totally different experience, and if I lived there now, I imagine I'd be going more than I did then. Mm-hmm. But especially for teams like the Twins that are having trouble selling seats, why is this something that they're so against doing? You're not losing any money. You already sold those tickets to that first game. Yes, people can get refunds, but they might come to the next game.
They didn't win last year, right? Didn't they do a straight doubleheader once last year?
And I think that's the first one that we had at Target Field.
I think you're right.
And I don't think they had one at...
And the guy who was originally on this and said, quit doing the split doubleheaders was Patrick Roycey. And he was right. You know, you greedy... Like, what's the point? Twins had a series. Oh, this was one of the stupidest series of all time. But about 5 or 6 years back, the Marlins came here in April, and the Twins went to Miami. I kid you not, in June, and so of course they had a game get colded out here. So if I'm not mistaken, they made it up on the second day by playing a split. It's like, what do you do? It's April. It's the Marlins. Nobody gives a damn. Just let everyone in, basically.
Furthermore, they need to bring back all you can eat seats for these doubleheaders. You can't tell me you wouldn't go if you had all-you-can-eat seats for 18 innings of baseball.
They have them.
No, I'm talking not Champions not like
Club Champions and Catch. Club. I'm like talking Cincinnati like, has affordable all-you-can-eat
yes,
seats. And I did that with
and,
my family.
And Texas
back in
does
the day.
Too. Yeah. Texas and Cincinnati, I believe, are the only two places that still have it.
That's an old minor league trick. All the minor league teams.
Who
do
started
it.
That? The Dodgers or Angels?
I don't know.
Bring that back for doubleheaders.
Because no one eats in Los Angeles.
I will go.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Hey, you want a second hot dog, huh?
I will go eat enough food for a week if you give me 18 innings of baseball.
A buddy of mine bought
I know you will.
Tickets in Catch this year because he did the math. Catch is, for people that don't know, it's the center dead center field right over the batter's eye. It used to be seats that nobody wanted.
I've never done this. It
genius
sounds cool.
Move by, well, here's how it happened. Genius move by the Twins. They said, nobody's buying these seats. There's no reason to have these here. Let's put Minnie and Paul's, a big standing room only bar that people can stand at because for some reason at Target Field, that's what everyone likes to do anyway. Nobody mm-hmm. sits in their seats. So this one's got a cool perspective in a place that no one's going to buy seats for. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember who it was. It might've been Dave St. Peter, but I don't know. I don't look below it and went, what are we doing there? And by like the next day they figured out, well, same thing, but let's sell it as a premium seat. All you can eat hors d'oeuvres and all you can drink beer and wine. Then it becomes a premium seat. It's not just a bar or a standing area. And a buddy of mine who was down the third baseline and then went Legends Club for 1 year and was thinking about not renewing, finally figured it out. And he went, I always go to the Twins game. I'm going to eat. I'm going to have 2 to 4 beverages, depending on who's driving.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And he did the math. And he went, and I think the face value on the Catch seats, and I think $75, $80. It's a lot of money for a ball game.
Yeah.
But $10 a beer, $10 per round of food.
Yep.
You're virtually getting the seat for free. It's a genius move. And I think you're right. If they did something where.
So he got one game or season tickets out there?
Partial.
Oh, partial.
I think
okay.
20 game.
Yeah.
But he figures.
Yeah, he's right.
I'm
he's right about
save
the food.
Money.
Yeah, if you eat enough, he's right.
And if you don't want to sit in center field, go up there, get your pops, get your food, go sit somewhere else.
Well, that's good. That's a good seat.
Yeah, you're still.
That's not a bad seat.
No, I mean, you're still in center field.
The outfield seats there, because the ballpark is pretty compact, are pretty good.
Oh, I've been, yeah.
Like, it's a good place to watch a game.
Watching a game at Minnie and Paul's looking down is, that's a good spot.
Yep, agreed.
But he figured it out. And same thing you said. So if you came up with something that was, let's say it's a family section.
You know,
burgers, dogs, Cokes.
Chicken tenders.
Light beer.
Nachos.
Just low-end stuff. And we're going to charge you, if you're over 18, $50, $55,
$45, 50.
And if you're a kid, 20. I would take my kids to that 3-4 times a year.
I'd go. I would actually buy a ticket to a Twins game, which I'll probably.
But you're boycotting baseball now, so you can't.
He'd be going for the experience, though.
If they brought all you can eat tickets, I would go there for the food and not watch the baseball.
A man of great principle, Daniel Cunningham.
You've said it. Target Field's the best bar in town. It just happens to have a baseball game going on in the middle of it.
Yeah. It's the best bar now, to be very clear, in Minneapolis. Because the best bar in St. Paul now is Allianz Field.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about that at the end of last year. Did you go?
It was great. Yes, it was fantastic.
Where were you sitting?
Press. Oh, okay. press box,
which is cool because it's right over the Wonderwall.
But the press box is very, very small.
Look at Danny switching off right as we go into soccer.
So no, it's interesting. No, it's the fan experience, Danny. So they put us in the seats in front of the press box,
outside.
Which is outside, which is a little bit cold, but that's okay. Yeah. The seats are unbelievable, mm-hmm. and you are hanging over. It feels like the field. It was a great experience.
I walked up to the top.
No downside to that.
Walked up to the top of the Wonderwall, walked up to the cheap seats, and stood on top of the Brew Hall, and that's where I watched the game.
Yes.
That's the best seat in the building.
But that climb's nothing.
No. Oh, it's not.
That climb's not bad. I did that climb. It's fine.
And it's a good view. Yeah. Yes. No. Danny, of course, for those of you who don't see the smirk, referencing when he made Judd climb to the top of the
US Bank
Stadium.
Oh, he didn't make me.
At the end, he did.
I was... Well,
at US Bank Stadium,
I was winded during the Final Four. But it was my idea, and he decided, being a good sport, to come along, and it was at the end where I was like, I'm about to die.
Well, I told Danny
one
of the first times we got into US Bank Stadium, you guys kind of went up one of the sides. I went up to the last seat. If you're facing from the field, if you're facing the window, facing the big Jumbotron. Up to the right. So above the Treasure Island Club, mm-hmm. on that end. I think you guys went up on a side. Mm-hmm. I went up there, same thing. Just, I'm going to go see how high up it is.
We were above everything.
This is where I'm an idiot. Should have just put it down. I was carrying a camera.
Oh, yeah, you
and
were
a
then.
Tripod.
Yeah, you're
because I was thinking, well, maybe I'll get a shot up here.
Yeah.
I was in pain for like 3 days. And I'm not in great shape. I'll admit that. That walk up with that much gear almost killed me.
I was in no pain. I was scared.
Well, you had, yeah.
Judd was sweating. He was dizzy. He was terrified.
My wife is like that. We can't sit upper deck at a Twins
vertical.
Game. Yeah.
I'm not afraid of heights. I get dizzy.
See, I like going, like I went Target Field one of the first years. I went up to the seat, to the last seat, left field. Left field line.
I did that too.
Left field line all the way up.
And I had to hold the railing coming down.
So like the Budweiser roof deck is right next to you.
Yes.
Like you could toss them a beer or
get yeah, them that, toss yes. you a beer. I did that. Yesterday, actually, yes. And I got dizzy again.
Well, don't do that then.
Well, that's the second time you've done it then.
Yeah,
right?
But I want to see, it's not like I'm really going to fall down.
So, you never know.
Well,
it's just what your body thinks it is.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Worst case, I do.
How are you on How are you on airplanes?
I'm fine.
Because that one I get.
Well, that's pressurized cabin though, so no problem.
But you're really high up there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but. It doesn't bother me.
I would think that if you had that issue high up in... All right, what about buildings? Like Empire State Building?
Dizzy as all get out.
So yours is open spaces.
The best of all time was the wife and I, Dawn and I, went to New York. This was like 10 years back. Go to the top of the Empire State Building, okay?
Which is outside.
I have vertigo. She's claustrophobic. So
a match made in heaven.
Yes. So I'm not joking. We get to the top. We go outside. And if you've been up there, there's a chain fence that you couldn't climb and fall if you wanted to.
Well, it's designed so you can't.
Correct. But the point being is she's like at the edge looking over and taking pictures like, this is gorgeous, Judd. Come out here. I am, kid you not, pressed up against the gift shop wall.
Sure.
Hanging on for dear life because I feel like I'm going to pitch forward and fall. Now, I really felt like I was just going to fall down. I'm like, I can't do this.
Well,
I'm
that's
sorry.
A definition of a phobia. It's an irrational.
Yes.
You can't talk yourself out of it.
Right. So my hands are sweating, my brow is sweating, my heart is pounding, and I'm leaning up against the gift shop, basically, wall. And I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. She's like, okay. So then I'm like, I'm going into the gift shop. Now, the shop at the top there is very, very, very tight quarters.
You guys traded places.
So I'm like, I'll be inside. So she comes from the outside. Oh, that's just so cool. And then she's like, oh my God, I got to go. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I'm claustrophobic. I can't handle this. So you got to go down to get to the elevator, get downstairs. You got to go down a small set of stairs.
Yep.
So she's like hyperventilating this time now.
We need to get you guys a reality show.
It was hilarious. I mean, it was like we should have just driven right back to the old folks' home.
So, have you done like...
And this was 10 years ago.
And this was 10 years... Yeah. Yeah, she was in her 40s, and I was like probably...
39
or... Yes, and yeah, exactly.
Have you done Sears Tower? High, but inside?
No, and I am not...
Would that make a difference?
No.
Because I don't have a problem with heights, but outside heights, to me, are different than inside heights.
No, and what is that Sears or... What's the one in Chicago where you go to the where it's all glass now?
They have the box that sticks off the side.
I would die.
It's awesome. It's so cool.
Well, it might be cool for you.
It's so cool. I would die. All right, so it's not just inside outside. It's
how long does it take you to kind of wind down from this after it happens? Mm.
Well, you were with him.
Like once I'm down, it's fine. It goes away instantly.
Because you're right. Some people, depending on the phobia,
it can last with you all day, or you'll be out of breath for a couple hours, or
I think it's
get all worked up.
In my case, I think it's an inner ear problem that once I get down, it's fine. I don't think it's a phobia.
Yeah, but inner ear, you're not high enough for there to be like a change in pressure.
Well, it feels like I'm going to fall. And then once I get down the steps, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's vertigo.
So explain that.
That's vertigo.
But it was hilarious for this couple to be, you know, she's like, this is gorgeous. I'm like, I can't do this. And then she gets inside. I can't do this.
You're in the gift shop like, this is gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God. Who's got cable TV here?
How in the world did we get into this? United.
I don't have cable.
Really? A lot of people don't.
That's my wife.
I stream everything.
My wife wants us to get rid of it. All right. So watching a game live, and I don't want to hold. Oh, I know. Watching a game live. How do you do it with social media? Because streaming delays just kills me.
I mean, I'm not really invested to winners and losers for the most part. I'll have to stay off Twitter when the Browns are playing because of it.
Okay.
But also, like, if I'm watching a basketball game and I know something's coming, I actually like it because I know what to look for. I think it gives me a little bit of an advantage if I'm trying to give analysis.
I do streaming. I don't have cable. I have Sling, and then I just use my brother's Xfinity account for NBC Sports for soccer games. Delay's not that bad.
That's my fear, because I'm almost
delay's
always
not terrible. You just got to have, like, if you have even mildly decent internet, it's not, the delays, you don't notice it.
If I have enough time to be watching a game at home, I'm usually there with social media on and sequestered.
I need my cable. Family. I need cable.
And I don't watch anything other than sports. Like I don't miss having cable.
I still kind of do.
I have no shows. I watch basketball and I watch football. That's kind of it. If I want to watch a show, I'll put Netflix on.
Hulu
or whatever.
I just can't bring myself to.
But you've got cable still, Chris, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can't not have cable.
And now my kids.
It's not going to happen in my household.
And now my kids, the voice remote is the greatest thing ever because they can just pick it up and say, Nick Jr., and it turns it on. So they love it. So that's kind of helping my cause for keeping it.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. No, that's the one thing in my life I'm not going to ixnay is cable. It's too
important. What about internet?
It's too important to
me. What would you keep, cable or internet?
I got them both.
I keep.
No, you have to pick one. That's the game I'm playing.
I'm done then.
Just tap it out.
I'm getting off the planet.
Moving to Bora Bora and shutting it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I can't have either one of those, I'm done.
He's going to climb to the top of the stadium and just let the vertigo take over.
Exactly right. It's over.
I think if you, it's one or the other, you get rid of cable because you can get.
That's what I'm saying. I have internet.
There's services out there like Sling and Fubo TV that are, and PlayStation View, which are basically cable, just way cheaper.
And Reddit.com.
Yeah, and Reddit.
I was going to say, there are
don't
other
get
ways.
Rid of Reddit yet.
There are
Come
other
on.
Ways.
Don't give that out. Is that a.
It's not a secret.
No.
It might be.
First rule.
It might be to me and our listeners, Danny.
First
don't
rule
know.
Of Reddit Club. First don't rule of illegal Club. Sports streams. Don't talk about illegal sports streams. One of my favorite things is to watch NFL Red Zone from the press box at Vikings games. I feel so dirty.
Oh, you do that?
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that because if I did that, I wouldn't pay a bit of attention to the Vikings
game.
It's
just on. I mean, you're watching the Vikings. It's a live NFL game. There's certainly plenty of downtime.
I do believe that in my lifetime, Red Zone as a channel is the greatest creation of a sports channel.
It's also made people think football is more exciting than it is.
Thank you.
Because you watch.
I tried to explain that to Mackie. I said the product is garbage. But if I take you from 100%. Touchdown to touchdown to touchdown to touchdown, you're going to think the product's great.
Danny's Thank watching you. A Browns game. He's invested in every snap.
Yeah, they got Odell Beckham.
I heard that somewhere. He's not watching the Browns game. He's watching Red Zone, and it's just action, 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 action.
Yes.
He's not forced to watch Buccaneers, Texans for no.
Don't care?
Right. You'll see the amazing catch of that. Yeah, I agree. It makes football seem way more exciting. Nothing will learn you about how slow football can be than buying a ticket and going to a game.
When's the last time that you guys, and it wasn't your team, so when's the last time, though, that you picked up the paper and said, oh, boy, look what Channel 9's got today. You know, they got that Packer game, so I'm all in there. The Vikings aren't playing.
What's a paper?
Okay, the last time you went to the TV
the hit guide
listings on the television.
You know, here's, I'm about
the point being is you never do that.
When my kids unless and wife kidding. Are out of the house and I'm at home and it's quiet and I can watch something on my own for an hour, that's when I'll do it. But you're right, I'm not going to. Remember that when your kids like, oh, I have to watch Jets, yes. Patriots. Because that's what's on. Well, baseball is the same way, too.
So when, you're, when your wife and kids are gone, is that when you tune into Real Housewives?
No. Oh, I have my vices. Oh, he'll tell you. I have my TV vices. They're not as bad as they used to be. All right, Jonathan's going to tackle me if I don't take a break. Score North Live, I'm Chris Long, Danny Cunningham, Judd Zolgad, Jonathan Harrison. Well, we'll talk about the hot topic yesterday. Was kind of, we've done a lot of real good. I feel like I'm hosting First Take today, and that's not my goal. You probably have a take on the Gopher season ticket debate. We will give ours coming up next.
Hey, it's easy to listen to Score North on 1500 on your Amazon Alexa device. Just say, Alexa, open Score North, Judd.
Awesome. Alexa, fire a coach.
No. It's
Alexa, trade everybody.
Judd, no. It's Alexa, open Score North.
Alexa, more hockey. I want more hockey.
Just say, Alexa, open Score North, and you can listen to Score North on 1500.
Alexa, open Score North.
Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere.
This is fantastic.
Okay.
Score North Live continuing here. Chris Long from 5 Eyewitness News Sports filling in for Matthew Collar along with Judd Zolgad and Danny Cunningham from the Score North family. That was Jonathan Harrison. He will be hosting the Minnesota United Toronto FC game tonight right here on Score North. 6:30 pregame, 6:30 kickoff.
6:30 pregame, 6:30 pregame,
kickoff shortly after as the Loons take the road up north. I don't have a dog in this fight, Judd and Danny, but I got into like a four-pronged social media fight with people yesterday, which I know better than to try to do.
Okay, were you actually responding to them or were they just having a fight in your mentions? Because I've had that happen before.
If
there's nothing more annoying on Twitter than people arguing in your mentions about something that you really don't care about.
Just mute the conversation.
Yeah, but
they won't know.
Just go work. Play along with me.
I don't mind that because then if somebody makes a good point, I can come in and say, you know what? I'm with you on that.
Sure.
I'll watch it. Yeah, but you're right. Sometimes with three or four of those are going at the same time, you don't know who you're responding to. It was both. If you didn't see the story, they changed the entire pricing structure for season tickets for men's hockey and men's basketball over at the University of Minnesota, which are the second and third revenue sports? Still?
Football, men's basketball, I believe.
Men's hockey still?
You know what?
Ahead of women's basketball?
I'm guessing yes. I don't know that fact now.
So three of the two.
Two
of the higher profile sports.
Yep.
And I'll say it's interesting what they did. And I'm not saying that interesting in a Minnesota passive aggressive way. It is an interesting way they've done this. If you didn't see, they basically took the cheapest seats in Mariucci Arena, which are the seats behind the goal. And the cheapest seats at Williams Arena, which are everything upstairs and the ones that are kind of tough to see in the back of the lower bowl. And drop those prices fairly dramatically. In men's hockey, the behind-the-goal seats went down from $600 to $500. In men's basketball, the upper deck seats went from $530, and this is season ticket price, to $340. That's a big drop. Four seats that people, by and large, were not in last year. That part of it, I don't think anybody really has a problem with. That's smart. Bring your prices down. Uh-huh. Now, the controversial part, for some, not to me, is the actual cost that you have to spend for the premium seats. That is to say, everywhere else in the building, the check you have to write to cover those seats stayed the same. Now, many can argue, Judd, you one of them, they should come down. But they didn't go up. They stayed the same. But what they did was drop the face value significantly. In the case of the highest priced basketball tickets, they went from $640 down to $340. That's the same face value as those cheap seats up in the top. So the face value of every seat in Williams Arena, with the exception of, you know, courtside and the suites, is $340. The difference is you're still paying this per seat contribution. Mm-hmm.
Scholarship contribution.
That went in. And that went up exactly the same amount that the ticket price went down. So you're still paying, you're writing the exact same check. The best seats at Williams Arena season ticket, you're writing a check last year for $1,040. You're doing it again this year. $340 face value, $700 contribution. What I initially said was, I think people are going to love this because that's a write-off. This is now cranking up, and a lot of people will do, well, I didn't understand. I had a lot of tax folk jump on me and said, nope, not anymore. That's gone. You can't write that off anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. Where those people are upset now is the face value on their ticket. And when the single game ticket prices come out, those are also going to plummet. They're going to be based on this new face value that has dropped. So mm-hmm. people are saying, well, I'm not going to be able to sell my tickets on the secondary market for as much anymore. My argument to most of these people is you're selling the tickets that aren't selling, the cheap ones to me. Maybe I'll bring my kids to a game or two a year. I'm not going to every game. Mm-hmm. To a young kid who doesn't have a whole lot of money, but same thing. I'll go to one or two, and I don't care if I sit upstairs. I just want to be in the building. I'm fine with that. That's a good move. That's building, because those are people that might buy those premium seats in 10, 15, 20 years. They're also saying, without openly admitting it, we don't care if you're not getting as much money. If you're going to try to sell your season tickets on the secondary market, you should be using them. That's what we want. We want people who are going to show up. Half the problem with Mariachi Arena wasn't that people weren't buying tickets, Judd. It was that people that were buying tickets just weren't showing up. And we talked with Mark Coyle a couple years early in his tenure, and he said, that one's hard to fix. That one's, you know, they're not going to win a national championship every year. Get the people, don't, you know, the Big Ten isn't what the WCHA was, but that's hard to fix. This is not going to help fix that, because now that person that wasn't showing up isn't even going to buy that ticket if they think they're going to show up and now can't put it on the secondary
market. And those were, to be clear, too, I think at times company tickets that didn't get used. And so somebody tried to make something off of them.
So a lot of the arguments I heard was, I'm losing the write-off. Yeah. I don't like the scholarship contribution to begin with. Well, those aren't going away.
Right.
Norwood Teague didn't invent this.
Right.
Pro teams started doing PSLs. St. Louis, I think they were the first team to do it.
Yeah.
And the Rams moved. I think they invented PSLs. And it's everybody went, ooh.
And Teague did it, if you recall, the story was when the Gophers went to, what was it, the Citrus Bowl. So, but instead of being like, let's hang back here and see how things go.
He went all in.
And he had no clue what he was doing. And I think that frustrated people, because he did turn out to be such an incompetent doofus.
And I understand, I shouldn't have to pay that. Well, what do you care? If the ticket costs $1,040, what do you care, assuming you're not trying to make a lot of money on the secondary market by reselling these tickets?
Well,
do you care?
But in the case of football, I had a lot of friends that were used to paying a certain price, and it wasn't cheap. But then all of a sudden, Norwood came along and put this pretty big scholarship fee on, and a lot of those people said, oh, well, I'm out now. Going to Gopher football was fun, but you've never given me a product that's worth what you're trying to charge now.
That I get, because you're raising the cost. Doesn't matter how or why. That you're raising the cost and saying this is not a premium.
But they completely misjudged that.
Yes. But with this one,
yep.
Short term anyway, again, the amount of money you're paying for that seat doesn't matter. And if you intend to sit in it,
yep.
Okay, you could say, well, you know,
can we split this, though? Can we split this? Because I think there's...
I know where you're going.
The problem is they did... Well, it's not a problem. The issue...
Lumped in basketball and hockey.
Yes, yeah. Together. Now, I contend that if Gopher basketball... Because I've seen it. If Gopher basketball wins, they're going to draw. This can be a very good college basketball town if you give people a compelling product.
Sure. I think that's the case in a lot of places.
Sure.
People want to go see a winning product. No one wants to go watch a team that's going to lose 30 games, right? Mm-hmm. No one cares about... I shouldn't say no one cares
about
that.
There are fans that will go.
But people aren't going to be as invested.
Yes.
You're not giving them a reason to go out there. If you're a winner, people have a reason to go watch you. I think that's not only true here for the Gophers, but it's true for the Twins. It's true for basically anyone other than the NFL. The NFL is always going to draw.
Right.
But everywhere else, that's a very true thing.
Right.
But your starting point, I think, for what you brought up, Danny, is you have to be a commodity that people are going to care about if you win. So it can't be a team. It can't be a team that's completely gone off the map and people have given up and are apathetic, which is, of course, the worst thing that can happen in sports. And that's where we get to my favorite sport, Gopher hockey. I would love if I could get. If Mackie calls me in tomorrow and gasses me, my job would be to run Gopher hockey from a business standpoint, because Gopher hockey's lost. It is completely lost. And to not slash every ticket in that building significantly and make it very clear that you are doing so is a massive mistake. The basketball thing I do get, Long, I'm with you here. And I think if Gopher basketball wins again, guess what? People are going to buy these tickets and they might be upset still and they might moan and complain.
They'll come back.
I was at the Michigan games or the game on Saturday night when and that was not the WC or WCHAC. There I go again. The Big Ten playoffs, which was not part of the package for season ticket
holders. So it was
holders.
All walk-up.
It was all walk-up. Was a complete embarrassment and a complete joke. But, Chris, as you said, off the air, and you're right here, that was the end result of a lot of missteps and a lot of things, and not even missteps. Things have changed. So let's not even start with misstep. Things have just changed. Gopher Hockey needs to say, Mark Coyle needs to say, we need to get butts back in seats no matter how. And that includes slashing every ticket price in that building. I would love to run that program from a business standpoint.
I told you about the Michigan game. I would have been at the state high school hockey tournament outside the XL Energy Center handing out tickets to people who are in town for the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are down from Greenway. You're down from Moorhead. You're down from here. Come to the Gopher Hockey. Here you go. Here you go.
And that high school hockey tournament narrative, which people tried to sell. Well, the high school hockey tournament's going on. How are the Gophers going to draw? I grew up in this town when Gopher Hockey was a big deal. And guess what? They played against the high school hockey tournament at home all the time.
It affected it.
And, well, sure it did. But to say that there's 12 people in the building because of the high school hockey tournament is ludicrous, ridiculous, and sad. So the news that came out yesterday frustrates me a little bit because it's two very different stories to me. Basketball is a very different story than men's hockey.
Let's keep going with this. Score North Live continues. That's Judd Zulget. I'm Chris Long. He's Danny Cunningham. Jonathan Harrison producing. Wrap this one up, and we'll talk a little bit more. Plus, one of the best high school basketball players we have ever seen in our state has picked a college. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Score North Live continues with Chris Long here from the 5 Eyewitness News sports team. Judd Zulget in, Danny Cunningham in. Danny working. You've got some breaking news here.
Yeah,
Wolves related.
It's been reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that the Wolves will be interviewing the assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets, Trajan Langdon, for their president of basketball operations job.
And people of Judd and my age will remember him as a standout with Duke. That would have been like mid-90s?
Yeah. Yeah, was he just after Christian?
Yeah. He was just that next wave.
Just
with
after
like,
Leitner?
With like Battier.
Back in the days when those one and duns, they weren't good enough for Coach K. We're not doing any of it. If you don't play 4 years for me, you don't play.
He had morals.
That's right.
Yeah, until he didn't.
Allegedly.
He seems more of a, we spent Judd a lot of the first, was it the first segment? First segment. Chauncey Billups reportedly in the mix. Langdon now seems like he fits the profile a little more of the kind of guy, Danny, that you, and I think we all agreed, they probably need a guy with a little bit more front office blood pumping through his veins.
Well, and I think the way that they've turned things around in Brooklyn is very impressive. And I think talking to people in that organization is a smart move. The Nets, a couple of years ago, the 2015-2016 season, I believe they had the third worst record in basketball. The only teams with worse records were Philadelphia, who was wrapping up the process. That was the year that was Joel Embiid's second year missed. And the Phoenix Suns, who they're just perpetually bad.
The Nets just took forever to get out from under once the Allen Garnett.
That's Pierce, the thing.
No, that's Celtics. The Garnett void disappeared.
And Paul Pierce. Yeah.
Well,
that trade. It was that trade. They traded with Boston. They sent essentially all of their first round picks and they gave up swap rights to the other first round picks that they couldn't legally send.
Who made that trade?
That was.
Remember who the executive was?
I know Bobby Marks was part of it.
Yeah.
Who now works for ESPN.
Doogie's buddy, Bobby Marks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that trade was, it set them back.
Yeah.
And it was a really short-sighted move. But it has set up the run that Boston is on right now, and it has set the Brooklyn Nets back. But the Nets went from 2 or 3 years ago being one of the worst teams in the NBA to now they're in the playoffs, and they've done it without having a lottery pick. The highest draft pick they've had has been like 25. They got Jared Allen in the first round in the 20s. They actually drafted Kyle Kuzma in the 20s and traded him to L.A. for D'Angelo Russell while taking on Timofey Mozgov as well. But that's how they've had to operate. They've had to do some really smart moves to try and get back into competitiveness because they were in such a deep hole. And does that sound familiar?
I was just going to say.
Like, I mean, I think we know of a basketball team that's also in a pretty deep hole.
Deja vu.
They're different kinds of holes. But the Nets have been really smart about the way that they've dug themselves out of that. So I think talking to someone in that organization is a very wise move.
That's not just experience. It's direct and relevant experience.
Yes.
Here's my question. How smart or savvy in this process do we think Ethan Kasson is? Because he's the Wolves business guy. But he is, I believe this is the first time that Glenn has gone on a coaching or chief executive search with Kasson as his right-hand guy.
Yes.
And how much do you think this is an attempt to talk to as many people as possible, not because you're actually interested in hiring them all, but because you can glean information and basically tap into them for, as Chris said, where they've come from?
I think we've seen hirings go really poorly in the past, as you kind of alluded to, where, I mean, they had a search for to get Tibbs, and they David Stern for a recommendation on David Kahn. So
how'd that go?
Not well. Neither of those have gone well. And I don't know how much Ethan Kasten has in a role in this process, but he's got some sort of role.
Absolutely.
And it does seem like Glenn Taylor's leaning on somebody, and it's likely Ethan that he is leaning on, because they're talking to the people they should be talking to. Mm-hmm. And who they hire is yet to be seen, and we'll make our judgments then. But for the most part, they're talking to smart candidates, and that matters. That is it's a small but very necessary step in the right direction.
I like it. I like that the names, I like that Trajan Langdon is a name that I had not heard. And as soon as it pops into the stratosphere, you go, oh, okay.
I'm kind of disappointed, because I wrote a list for scorenorth.com last week of like nine candidates they should be targeting, and he's the first one they've talked to that wasn't on my list.
But
it's a knock against me a little bit, but it's anyone with the Brooklyn Nets, I think, is a wise person to talk to, because the front office there has made some really smart moves to kind of save that franchise and bring them back to competitiveness, which they were very, obviously, they were far from it when these guys took over in 2016.
And yet they ran the Islanders out.
Yeah, I know. I know. But the problem is, here's my gripe.
Oh, here we go.
Islanders.
Hit a third rail out of nowhere.
Islanders, second round now, because they swept the Penguins.
Yeah.
Guess where they're going to play home games in the second round?
Oh, not Brooklyn.
Yep, they're going back to Barclays.
Why?
Because they need the room.
I don't know how this works.
My guess is
there's an agreement about where
building.
There's an agreement about where they play.
What if the Nets
X
make
amount
it to the
second
round?
How many NBA, NHL? Well, there's still a bunch that have both.
But Nassau Coliseum has been fantastic.
But it's not big enough.
It's so cool. And now they're going to go to Barclays, which is this nondescript. It's a good basketball arena. It is not a good hockey venue.
Let me pivot to this, because I wanted to do this, especially with the two of you in this room. We've got about 8 minutes left. I lean hockey. No secret. Danny, you're outnumbered here. But
what are you talking about? Judge's the biggest basketball fan I know.
That's right.
I love it. Hardwood.
I
sneakers.
Yeah.
Sneakers.
Look at what's
socks.
Look at what's going on in hockey.
They wear socks in hockey. Kind of.
Under the skate. Actually, I didn't wear socks when I played.
I think a lot of hockey players don't wear socks.
Yeah, they don't.
And my toes,
which seems really.
You're correct.
Let me on the hockey podcast.
You're not getting on the hockey podcast.
My toes are not good as a result, but that's another story.
Yep.
NHL.
Thank you for that.
I believe. I didn't see last night's scores. Yeah, you're welcome. Didn't see last night's scores, but as of the beginning of last night,
I watched them all.
One higher seeded team, the Islanders, swept the Penguins. That was an unexpected result.
Yes.
None of the other seven series is the higher seed team leading or even still alive.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Yep.
NBA, which I'm trying so hard. The Clippers come back against Golden State was amazing. That was fun to watch.
I went to sleep.
I don't blame you. I was here at work and I was getting ready to leave and I looked, I go, oh, they're down 30. And by the time I finished like prepping tomorrow in like 9 minutes real time, I looked up, I go, it's 10. Mm-hmm. So I need to watch this. There just have not been compelling games. And I know it's the easiest take ever. Well, Golden State's going to win anyway. Everyone in Milwaukee would love to raise their hand and say, hold on a minute. Houston as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having such a hard time finding. I'm trying to commit myself.
Well,
to
Golden
the NBA
State
playoffs.
Game one was great, right?
They came back. Game two. It was game two.
Where they came back from, what, 30 down?
That's what I'm talking about.
31.7. Yeah.
Two nights ago, every NBA playoff game was a 20-point game.
So here's my thing with saying, oh, well, Golden State's going to win. And you brought up Milwaukee and Houston. Those are very valid points. I actually don't think Milwaukee's going to win the East. I think that we're going to see some. I think Toronto is going to win the East. That's who I've picked.
Mm-hmm.
But I would slow my roll on the Golden State thing. I really would. Yes, they're the most talented team.
Well, they have some warts this year that we've seen that they didn't.
But Houston is playing the best basketball right now. I think Houston in the second round, if there's a reason Golden State doesn't win the title, it's because Houston beats them next round. That's
why do we. But
so if I'm a 50-50 fan, but to Chris's point, next round.
But to Chris's point, why why do we get so defensive of our sports, or why do we attack the sports just, that aren't ours?
You are
ours?
Reliving you the first listening. Hour. Hour one, we did this with soccer.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's just weird. Like Phil is so into being hockey is random and it's just random and I'm like, Phil, the Tampa Columbus series was magnificent. Mm-hmm. Columbus is
perfect
the coaching,
strategy.
The goaltending, it was great. And if you watched those games like I did, I had a true appreciation. But that doesn't make me then want to rip basketball. I just like, okay, basketball, yes, there's going to be, it makes sense why things in hockey are a bit more difficult to predict.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I hate basketball.
But don't we want that in our sports? That's what I'm getting at.
I
understand you love dynasties. You say you hate them, but the ratings say
you know what I don't want? I don't want horse bleep play. And the NBA and hockey in the 90s into the early 2000s gave us nothing but pure crap.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this all year long and I will stand by it. And I'm certainly not Mr. Basketball, but the NHL and the NBA, the products that they put out there on a nightly basis have never been better.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, right. Does that mean that they're going to be the exact same all the time? No. And I told Louis this on the podcast on Wednesday because he was the latest person, not surprisingly, to say, the hockey playoffs are the best. It's unbelievable. And they are great.
Because it's the cup.
I love them. But yeah, but he was going
great
on.
Marketing.
He was
great
going
marketing.
On and on.
Let the kids play.
Terrible Manny marketing. Was, though, about how great the hockey playoffs are. And they are great. But I said, Lou, part of that is because it's the biggest jump in play.
Mm-hmm.
The regular season, yeah. If I watch a game on February 15th, national TV, Rangers, Penguins, or something, and it's the best game it could possibly be, it can't touch the playoffs.
No.
I would contend that a lot of NBA games in the regular season get to a level that can be more like playoff games. But we're not talking, in hockey, we're not talking about the fact, it's as if people want to say, well, every other sport stinks in the playoffs and hockey's great. Well, hockey is great, but it's the jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the jump in play.
It's almost like it's a different game.
Yeah, it is. But we feel the need to sort of attack these sports as opposed to be like, why is this?
Like, you would have to pay me to watch regular season hockey.
And I'm fine with that.
I
don't have a problem with that.
See, this was the year. Fair.
You know, that's just, you're right.
This was the year I said, I want to watch more of the NBA playoffs. I'm not going to just wait until the finals. I'm going to watch a couple games. I'm going to get it. And I tried, and the games are just.
Okay, well, one, why'd you pick the year LeBron's not part of it? That's a bad decision on your part.
Might be why I picked it.
That's a bad choice on your part.
That might be why I picked it.
That's
who do you want to watch, Chris? Like, who, if there was a team or two who you said, I'm going to watch more, and I'm going to watch team...
Milwaukee.
A and B.
Milwaukee.
Okay.
Because of Giannis. Indiana. I've got family in Indiana, and they were a hell of a story this year.
They were a great story, but they were never going to win
this
series.
Nope. And I'm okay with that. Boston, because I want them to fail. Kind of.
I think Boston's fun because of the dysfunction now and mm-hmm. seeing where that's led them.
I
now.
Think yeah. that's the most attractive part, and they've got the best clutch player in basketball in Kyrie Irving.
But he's also painted himself as a bit of a villain, and I'll watch that.
As someone who covered Kyrie Irving, terrific basketball player, weird dude.
Yeah, but I'll watch that. I want a villain.
I think they're going to beat Milwaukee.
Ooh.
I think Boston's going to beat Milwaukee.
There you go.
One out late.
Potential series for you.
And Houston over the Dubs?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, okay.
But that could happen.
That might reel me back in.
That very well could. I would not be surprised if
that's
Houston.
Fair.
I'm not going to pick Houston to be Golden State, but that's a long series, and I would not be surprised if Houston does beat Golden State.
Is Golden State getting beat by Houston next round good for the NBA in your mind?
Yes. Because one, I think it absolutely locks up the fact that Kevin Durant will be gone. I already think he's out the door, but that is
but
that.
Just as far as perception, too, though. Stone. Because the perception is Golden State's going to win. Golden State's going to win.
Yes, that's the thing. And then everyone can turn around and go, are you sure?
Right.
Because they're gone, and we still have two more rounds of playoffs. And then you really don't know who the champion's going to be because you're going to have a Houston-Portland Western Conference Finals.
Teased you with some news. Buried it here right at the end of the show. Rochester, John Marshall Sr., Matthew Hurt picks. Duke, no surprise.
I'm not paying more for tickets
for
now.
His college. Judd Zolgad, Danny Cunningham, Derek Wetmore, Jonathan Harrison, Chris Long. Thanks so much. This has been Score North Live.